Let's turn in the scriptures, if you have them, to Proverbs chapter 7. In Proverbs chapter 7, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 27. And Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1, these are God's words, so let's give our attention to them, to Him who speaks even from heaven. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my easement, and behold, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Those are God's words. Although warning in this chapter is similar to that of the ones that have come before, specifically to warn young men and boys, but applicable to all of us against the lusts of the flesh, especially we could apply this to any sin, though in particular here to the young man engaging to satisfy the lusts of his flesh. And so when we follow the lusts of our flesh instead of following the Lord, it leads to what we see in this chapter, idolatry and ruin. And so instead of having our hearts and minds and bodies being governed by the world and our fleshly lust, through verse 5, the Lord gives us several antidotes against the lust of the flesh. That is, generally speaking, or summarizing all of them, live in the Word. It even describes it here that they should be the Word. His commandments, His Word should be so intimate, you should be so intimate with it that it should be like family. Right? And verse 4, thou art my sister. and kinswoman. That's what God's word and commandment should be to you, your family, that you don't leave it or forsake it. And then verse 23, then he warns of the great danger to young men. And then, you know, in application to all of us for all of our sins, and to warns us against falling into the trap that is talked about here. Notice where it starts, where he starts falling into the trap. It starts with putting yourself in bad circumstances when you could have avoided it, right? There are many who say, well, I'm strong enough to go into the very pit of hell, and I'll be fine. And you think, I'll be fine. And the Lord says here, no. Avoid going into the part of town where temptation lies. Where you know temptation is, don't go there. When you know that you're going to be tempted to a sin that you struggle with, don't go there where the temptation is. Here, if the young man wasn't walking on the street near her house at nighttime, he would have never seen or met the woman. But because he was passing by thinking he would be fine, verse 13, she caught him and lured him in. And what kind of a woman is this? Whether it's the actual woman or it's an application to all of our other sins, she's a religious woman. Sometimes the temptation comes that to your senses seems, oh, this is okay. This is holy. Right? She has peace offerings. Right? She worships the Lord. She pays her vows. Verse 14. She seems like a holy woman, right? But she's not. Otherwise, if she were, she wouldn't be seeking after men. She wouldn't be on the street corner. But that's what sin does. Sin puts itself before you and tries to tempt you. And so avoid putting yourselves in the way of temptation and fleshly lusts, but rather put yourselves in the way of blessing and protection from sin by being in the Word. And notice here, he's also by himself. He should be not by himself at night. Listen to the summary of verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. And then the last verse is a great caution offered to you. Do not even go astray into her paths. Avoid. Go on the other side. Right? Go on the other side of the city. If you can avoid even coming close to her, too close to temptation to sin, then avoid it zealously, because where she leads, you want to avoid with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. Because where she leads, verse 27, is hell and death. That's where sin leads us. That's where the adulterous woman leads us. And our fleshly lusts lead us. And so avoid them and turn from them by being in the Word, by being before God and seeking His face. Well, let's pray. Our gracious Father, how marvelous is Your name in all the earth. How merciful and gracious You are to us. Merciful in that even as we've now come to worship You, and we're now, as we've looked at Proverbs 7, that we've considered our own fleshly lusts, which are many. Each one of us here has different fleshly lusts that we are attracted to, and yet sinful and wicked. They're an abomination to You, and they ought to be an abomination to us. We ask that You would be glorified by showing, continuing to show your mercy as you have already this morning, in which we give you praise, for we don't deserve to even continue standing or here praying to you. Father, we deserve to be struck down and destroyed and punished for eternity. But Father, you're a merciful God, and so we praise you. We're thankful that you're also a gracious God, and that you grant us even what we just heard, a warning. We don't deserve to be warned, and yet you grant us a good warning. And Father, we don't deserve your word to hear it with our ears, or even to understand it, to grow in wisdom of it. We don't deserve any of that. And yet, by your grace, you have continued to pour out your word to us. And by your Spirit, you have, for some of us, and hopefully all of us, but for at least for some of us, you have worked that in our hearts, and turned us from our sins, and turned us unto Christ Jesus, your Son. And Father, we praise you for your Son. We praise you for the gospel and the good news, for which we must not be ashamed. And so, Father, make us to be zealous about the good news. Father, we ask also that your name would be praised because of the good news, because you're a merciful and gracious God. And you have not just spared your Son, but you delivered him over for us, that we might in him have all things. That by his death and by his resurrection, now as he's seated on the throne as our mediatorial king, who reigns over all, not just the church, but all nations, of which we can have great comfort and encouragement that the gospel will be successful and continue, that all nations will come unto you. Father, we give you praise that you have given us the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And we're thankful that you will grant that hope that we have one day, that all nations will covenant with Christ and turn to you. We're thankful for the promises that we'll hear about this evening concerning the nations coming to you. And we ask that you would fill our hearts with prayer and a desire and hope and a comfort in that one day that will come about. Maybe not during our lifetimes, but Father, we know you will do it, and you will accomplish your promises always because you're faithful, of which we also praise you. You're the faithful God who always keeps and never breaks your promises. You're the covenant-keeping God. We're thankful that Christ has kept the covenant of works for us. And now we have offered to us that great covenant of grace by faith alone in Christ alone. And Father, today we pray and ask for your help for the weak in this congregation. We pray that you would strengthen Oscar and Elias. I know that they have not been feeling well. We pray that you would strengthen their bodies, especially Elias in his fragile state as a young baby and toddler. We ask that you would grant him healing at the right time. But above all, Father, as we think of him and all the children here, Father, we pray for their salvation, that spiritual healing that is needed for each one, that you would grant your grace to be poured out upon our children and those you have set apart and called holy. And so, Father, grant them salvation in Christ alone. Father, we also pray and ask for your favor to be upon Phil, that you would grant him rest now and healing of his body. We pray that you would help as well. We know often the struggle with Julie and Mark to sleep, and so grant them sleep and rest. We're thankful they're here this morning. Father, we ask that you would be with Carla as she's helping with a birth. We ask that you would give her strength and energy, that you would perhaps even allow her to be here this evening with us, and grant that mother and the baby good health through the labor, and also, Father, salvation for that baby and the mother, if she is not yours, if she doesn't know you. Father, we do also pray, not just for the physical bodies of the saints of our congregation. We pray for the spiritual souls of each one here, that you would sanctify us, that you would make us to be holy, perfect us in Christ, your Son, and do so at the right time. And we look forward to that when you will, and hope of glory and glorification, when you will bring us to that day, because you preserve us to the end. Father, we do also pray and ask for your help, that you would, for those who are downcast and downtrodden, discouraged, and pray that you would encourage your people and grant them assurance of salvation, that you would grant them to turn from their sins, whatever they might be, to you, and they would see, all of us would see, the wondrous grace and mercy and love that you have for us, and that even if we are going through many and a multitude of various afflictions and sufferings, Father, you are the God who protects us and preserves us to the end, especially in our souls, and we're thankful that you'll give us new glorified bodies and the life to come. Father, we pray as well for the gardeners. Father, they have gone out from us. They have turned their backs upon you and upon us, but mostly upon you. And we are saddened by their departure and their turning to the Antichrist. Father, we pray that you would bring them back and cause the shame of their church discipline and their suspension from the sacraments and the privileges of membership, that shame would come down upon them, and they would see not just the physical censure and discipline, but the spiritual discipline, and that they would see their need of Christ and turn back to Him. Father, it is our prayer that you would restore them in faith, if they have had faith to begin with. Father, we thought they did. Even the elders thought they did. And yet, Father, they have gone out from us. And they have brought great shame upon themselves and their profession. And they've broken their covenant. Father, let this be a warning to all of us here, that we would not go after the lusts of our flesh, as we've just heard in Proverbs, but be in your word, and your word alone, and not go to the left or to the right. Father, we say and we pray all these things humbly, as best we can. Father, knowing that we don't deserve anything that we have here, we don't deserve to be part of this congregation or the Church of Jesus Christ, the Bride of Christ, but it's by your grace that we are here and we remain here. And so, Father, we pray that you would humble us before you and keep us from the same errors of those who have gone out from us. Save the gardeners, even their children. And Father, we do pray that you would provide for this congregation. We're thankful for the opportunity to give unto you. And we're thankful that you've provided for us, and we give our first fruits to you. We pray that you would grant us raises in our jobs or better jobs. We pray for Sheila that you would grant her a better job, that she wouldn't have to work on the Lord's Day as she desires. and others who are working on the Lord's Day, that you would make it so they wouldn't have to, or they wouldn't be required to. Father, we plead for the souls of your people, that you would sanctify us, forgive us of our sins, for they are many, and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Father, may your name be praised in all things, and may you have all the glory, that we would not seek any of it for ourselves, but that your name would be praised. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.